It's the three wise men, everybody. Welcome in again. Danny Holbrook, Miles Holiday, Nate Garlock. Guys, we're going to do a little bit of a different start today, all right? Usually we do the Diamond Dave Bowen best thing we saw. Today, we're going to talk about the best thing you've seen right here on the three wise men for 32, 33 episodes.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. Yeah. It's flown by.
Hollywood's calling.
There are so many great moments on this show so far. And, you know, hearing that we've been picked up for season two.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So now I'll let you go first on this one.
Well, I mean, look, this is really difficult because you're asking, I mean, we've had so many great guests. We've had so many good segments. Everything that we've been doing all year, this is just, as this has grown and gotten more, and this whole thing has been a lot of fun. But, you know, I'm kind of going to take a little bit of a cheap out. And, you know, to me, it's been the best moments for me have been being able to bring in the athletes,
yeah,
and being able to talk to them and giving them a spotlight for all the success and all the things that they've accomplished in their sport and throughout this year. Those have been some of our best episodes, getting to know these kids, letting the viewers get to know these kids on a different level than just, you know, seeing them play or see their highlights. That's what this all is all about, right? Yeah, like, we wanted to give an outlet for these players and, you know, make it about them, and that's what we've been able to accomplish while we've been doing the show over the last 32, 33 episodes, and those have been my favorite memories.
Yeah, I have two. One, of course, is being able to experience the state basketball finals with you guys.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Lot of fun. We got to do breakdowns and previews of those games with our good friend Mark Shine. That was a lot of fun. It was a special moment. Not here on the show. My favorite moment is when we're out in at games, right? And someone will come up and say, hey, I love that interview you did with so-and-so, right? Hey, I love that player that you guys had on. It was good that you guys had coach so-and-so on. The response that people have, because they love, there's such a passion in Lima Land for our athletes and our coaches. The response is that people just come out, that you don't even know them, and they just come up to you and say how much they appreciate the fact that we're doing that. So along the lines with what you said, Nate, just being able to give these kids some more spotlights, because the passion that people have in our area is second to none.
Hey, can we guess Danny's before he goes? Can we guess what they look? So I think is it just when he's recognized the one camera, or was it when they gave him his own dressing room, or was it the bottled water or was it just the orange jelly beans?
Yeah.
Those were all great memories for him. Mm. Was it when he demanded that none of us look him in the eye and referred to him as Mr. Holbrook?
Was it that? It's this, Nate. It's the process of training people what I want.
We were close.
There's no little parts. There's little people. And Nicholas and the two girls. And yeah.
Yes. And now you can't hear Danny on this podcast because his mic has been cut off.
And you guys, sometimes it's the joy I get from carrying you over the mountain. It's I'm like a Sherpa.
You know what? I changed
my mind.
The humility that Mr. Holbrook has shown throughout the run of the show.
We're going up Mount Success. And I'm pulling you along.
So,
and I don't want to lose anybody.
So we'll pull the curtain aside a little bit. We have 5 screens that are in front of us here. All right. And when it goes on what we call the one camera, which is directly.
Let's shoot the one camera right now.
There it is.
There is
5 screens of Danny in front of us. And we will catch Danny from time to time. Checking his hair, making faces that screen.
Something like this.
No, oh, not yeah, that face.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
the silver fox.
Oh, there's
people have told me, do not dye the hair or the beard because it makes me look like a John Forsythe type.
Well, that's actually...
Yeah, exactly.
That's actually law enforcement because they said don't change your appearance or leave the area, right?
Yeah.
In all seriousness, guys, the show for me has been about... We all three of us coming together. I just remember, and we tell a story all the time about you and I sitting in the restaurant last summer, and you're telling me about the podcast you're going to do, and I'm sitting there going, do I tell him Miles and I got this idea?
And Miles and I are going to steal his idea?
No, not at all. And I look at Nate and I go, well, Miles and I are going to do a podcast. Why don't you just come with us? And I called Miles and he's like, call Nate, tell him to come with us. So it started so slow, and we just were a podcast. And then, like 3 weeks into it, Nick comes and says, hey, it's going to be a TV show. And then it's just blown up. And I mean that in the most humble way, because it is so nice when coaches are calling us and kids are calling us, and they want to be a part of this program. Because, look, Bottom line is we're having a blast and we make fun of each other, but we are promoting high school sports in Absolutely. Northwest Ohio. Absolutely. That's what our job is. The notoriety, it's fun, the fame, whatever it is, and so, we joke about that, right? Oh, my
God. You know, it's weird because we used to be a podcast. When we were a podcast, you sat there, Danny sat here, I sat over there. And then the moment it became a TV show, Danny's over there. And
why do you want that chair?
It's weird.
Do you guys know the game of checkers?
We're playing checkers.
Here's the thing. In checkers, you got to jump over top of people to become a king. Woohoo!
Well, in full disclosure, though, okay, you weren't 100% honest on that conversation you had with Nick, because Nick said to us, if we're going to go with cameras and put it on a TV show, we do have to figure out what we're going to do with the glare off of Nate's head. And so he figured that out, and thankfully.
It was a lot worse over on that side. Here, we've been able to dull it down a little bit.
I never looked directly at it.
Yeah. It's bright.
Yeah.
It is bright. Are you cold over there in my shadow? Sing the Bette Midler song.
This has been a lot of fun. I'm glad that we did this. This started off, you know, I'm glad that I was genuine and nice about mine. Yeah.
Did you ever know that you're my
I'm just excited that we got Chris Howell coming up that we can talk about spring
sports. Right, yes, absolutely.
Talk a little bit
absolutely.
About spring sports. Chris Howell's up next. It's interview time, gentlemen. We got one of the best in the business. From the Lima News, it's Chris Howe. Chris, thanks for spending some time with us.
Hey, good to be back here once again with you guys. I can't believe you keep inviting me back, but here
we
can't either.
We can't either, but we ran out of guests, and your name got pulled out of the hat. So,
Listen, it's just your audition to be the new third wise man, because I'm pretty sure I'm leaving.
You had a good run,
Nate. Yeah. 30 shows, and you were here for like 7 of them. Well, it's a
30-second.
Nate wants me to keep coming back, though, because we're on each other's sides.
Right,
some of
these last week we were on the same page.
Oh, that's right,
In our bracket.
We got to stop wearing the same clothes to these shows.
Nobody would have noticed.
Right.
Tiger is the Sunday red. This is what I wear when I'm all business. So,
let's get into it. It's spring sports time, and I know you guys at the Lima News do a fantastic job of covering track and field, baseball, softball. I love your baseball coverage. Let's talk about some of the top players in the area.
Yeah, and I don't know where you guys want to start, because I narrowed it down to about 5, 6, 7 kids, but we could be talking about 20, 25 of them, because we have some future Division I players, namely, you start at Walpock with Grant Jolly, who's by Prep Baseball Report the 14th best baseball player in the state
Amazing.
Of Ohio.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And last year he was one of two Division I baseball players on Walpock with Taylor Eccles, who's now in Miami, Ohio, and he's going to be a big part of their pitching rotation. Fastball sits around 90, mixes in two or three other pitches, and bat in the top half of the order as well as most of the people who we'll talk about on this list.
So when you talk about Grant, I'm just curious too. Obviously, you know, baseball has 7,000 rounds for their professional draft. Grant Jolly being the 14th best in the state. Is he getting any – is there any talk around him as far as the MLB draft?
I think there's going to be at least 1 year in school before you look at any of that. We've had some kids from around here go that route, but most of them have at least spent a year in college ball before – you start getting real looks like that. He's got a lot of really good evaluations on him, but I think most MLB scouts want to see guys against at least one level up in competition before they go that hard investing in a kid.
Last year in the WBL, it was Wapak and Defiance, right? It looks like it's going to be that way again. Is there a third team that could be knocking on that door?
It depends. Let's just say that there's a handful of teams in the mix for that. Coming from Van Wert County, I got a chance to see them a lot. And, Charlie Witten's heading to something like his 28th year with the baseball program there. And they have all five of their pitchers back this year. And, a couple of those kids, Briston Wise, quarterback of the football team, heck of an arm. He's their number one arm, and he's going to chew up a lot of innings and, play a prominent role in their lineup, as well as Sam Howe, a great swimmer and golfer during his time at Van Wert. And it's definitely an arms race, because you play so much of baseball season in Ohio in March and early April in terrible weather, where it's hard to, get balls to the right contact point of those metal bats. And if you have arms, you can compete with anyone.
Well, in Ohio, at least early in March and April, typically you really only need two pitchers, because the reality of it is you're going to schedule 28 games, but you're only going to play 12 because every other day you're going to have a rain out or you're going to have something. So a lot of times you don't even start seeing what pitching depth a lot of these schools even have until you start getting towards the end of April and early May, when you're starting to actually play consistent games without a bunch of cancellations.
Yeah, and it really comes down to it when you're in tournament time, because you start playing like twice a week and there's innings caps, and then you have to decide, you know, do we take a gamble and try to make it to tomorrow and then have our best arm for the title game as opposed to in the semifinal game at the district or the regional or even the state level? And that's something that a lot of these coaches will tell you. You need three arms if you want to be a true state title contender, because inevitably somebody's just going to have a bad day sometime, and you're going to need that break glass in case of emergency guy.
A couple of guys I want to ask you about. One's a pitcher, one's a catcher. Yeah. The catcher is Jackson Thompson out Allen East with his pop time. We learned a new word the other day. I think that kid has a chance to be paid someday to play baseball. He's that good. And the other kid I want to ask you about is Maddox Underwood, who's got a chance to be the football player of the year, the basketball player of the year, and the baseball player of the year in the NWCC. So we'll start with Jackson first.
Let's start with Jackson. I would call him the top catcher in our area. In that pop time you mentioned, he gets out of his stance and gets the ball out in about 2 seconds, which if you think about that, it's like the blink of an eye when you're letting a pitch go and trying to get out of the box. The only problem the kid has is that he can't pitch and catch at the exact same time, because last week they played Kenton, 6-0 win. He had 12, 13 strikeouts, complete game. And guess what? He went up to the plate and he had a home run too. So he's one of their best bats. He's definitely a leader of that defense, and he's also still an underclassman. Last year, he was just one of two sophomores on the NWC's first team. And like I said, he's just going to play just an X factor type role on wherever they put him out into the field. And Maddox Underwood, I mean, you talk about a kid who's achieved, you know, almost everything. And I think everybody would tell you he was a close second to being the NWCC player of the year in baseball, because Xander Wilson of Hardin Northern was also very, very good. Last year he hit .478, had 29 stolen bases, and as a pitcher, 7-2, 2.82 ERA, 83 strikeouts. The kid's just an absolute weapon. I don't know what else we can say.
Not bad. Yeah.
Especially in a limited number of games.
And he graduated from the same school. Or he will graduate.
Yeah. Well, I hope they build a statue right next to yours.
It'll be smaller. He won't let it be bigger.
You brought up Weiss a little bit earlier from Van Wert. Where do you see his opportunities in college? Is he a guy that can play Division II, III, Division I? Where do you see it?
I think he's probably a good Division II player. There's a little bit of physical limitations there, and he's not the best hitter on the planet. He bats a little over .215, .220-ish, and when you're in a small sample size of season like this, that, you know, two or three hits can really sway your batting average. So maybe he comes out and proves us all wrong this year, which I mean, I know Van Wert's probably hoping that that's the case, but he's definitely got the arm to compete with, I think, anybody at the D2 level.
I had an opportunity on Saturday to interview Jaron Swick from Fort Jennings.
Absolutely, another guy who was on the list.
Absolutely loved the kid, man. He was a great interview. Going to pitch at Cuyahoga. What's his upside? Because I know he's wants to go there, but maybe get a Division I offer after that. So what do you see on his upside?
Well, first of all, I know you're a big mascot guy, Miles. So do you know what Tri-C's mascot is?
What is it?
They're the Triceratops.
Triceratopses, I love it. How did I not know that? I gotta get a hat.
Oh, right? He's definitely buying merch now. Huh?
Yeah, this kid. I mean, he really showed his upside on the basketball court this year compared to some of the previous seasons. But he's always been a baseball first kid. .356 batting average last year. He went 7-1 on the hill. This is also just a super veteran laden Fort Jennings team. It obviously involves just a lot of the same names you saw on the basketball court, and a very talented senior class. They should compete right up to the top of the Putnam County with everybody else.
So I want to ask you about divisions. We've obviously been going through the year. Everybody knows about expanded divisions at this point. We just got out of basketball season, which was a huge talking point. Baseball, same thing. seven divisions now in high school baseball, and a little bit late on kind of those teams being announced and what divisions they were going to be in. We're just about a week removed from everybody knowing what officially what division they're in. Any surprises when you look at, you know, those divisions and those placements, or any teams that'll be really affected, maybe, you know, both positively and negatively with this expanded division?
I haven't got an extensive chance to sit down and look at it team by team, but the one thing that just comes to mind is if you're in D7 with Rushi, then good luck.
Right.
They've been to eight of the last nine state tournaments in a boys sport in each of the last nine sports seasons. But that's a class that has pretty much always been baseball first, too. So the small school divisions are going to be as tough as they've ever been, like we saw in basketball. You bring up another team around the area like Lincoln View, who's just had an insane run in baseball and softball, which we can talk about. And every year since 2018, the NWC Player of the Year has come from Lincoln View. So let's just take a minute to appreciate the greatness of the small school talent that we have around here, because we have great schools like Rushi, like Lincoln View, like Lipsick, who was one game away from the state tournament last year. And there's just so much talent, at every corner of every county that we have around here. And I wouldn't be surprised to see one of our small schools get into that small school division state tournament up in Canal Park in Akron.
Well, let me ask you about a guy that I don't know if you guys have heard about from basketball, Cam Elwer. Have you heard about this kid?
He's from
unbelievable basketball player, right? I've seen him in baseball, man. Yeah. He's almost as good in baseball as he.
Well, when we interviewed him for getting second place in Mr. Basketball, the most shocking statement on the whole thing was, yeah, I think I'm probably going to play travel baseball as well as travel basketball.
Wow.
And it's just like, man, how many minutes are in the day for this kid sometimes? And talk about commitment, too. He only had one loss on the mound last year, and I believe that was to Lipsick in the district finals.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He did toss a no-hitter earlier in the season, but,
No, I think didn't he lose to a no-hitter? I think he gave up one hit and lost 1-0.
It could be. That's a little bit far away from my memory right now, and we're already digging into the new season. But, like I said, he's already back at it this year. He pitched four innings the other day against New Knoxville, and they won 19-1. So, that team, too, has another name or another crop of names that you would recognize absolutely. You know, both the Elwers, Tice McClain. Tice McClain had five RBIs a couple days ago. Wow. And that's another team experience head coach, Jerry Jackson. I think he's been doing it about 11 years. So they're gonna be down there when it matters.
Sure.
And, even after probably doing basketball at 7 a.m. and baseball at 3 p.m.
Well, unfortunately, you already said it. They're in D7. That road is going to be very difficult, and I think everybody understands that at some point that road is going to go, it's going to cross with Rushi, and that is going to be difficult for anybody.
You better navigate your pitching, right?
Yeah. So I want to ask you about softball. We mentioned it a little bit. Obviously, a lot of really good teams around here for softball. We've actually been pretty much a tradition-rich area when it comes to really good softball teams. But one of the teams that I've been able to watch really kind of grow and start to really kind of turn the corner, I think it gets overlooked a lot with the success that they've been having, and that's Lima Senior.
Absolutely.
They really go under the radar, and they have done a fantastic job. Ever since Rob took that program over, I've seen the hours, I've seen the time they put into it. They have some really good players and some nice pieces over there.
Yeah, and they have the TCAL batting champion, Angie Kohlhofer, back this year. She's in that lineup with Mallory Gibson, Allie Van Meter, Cadence Holbrook, Morgan Cunningham. There's just so many high average hitters in that program and experienced head coach. I think they finished about third last year in the TCAL, and they were one of the only programs that got most of their prominent players back. And they're going to be around for this year, and they're going to score a lot of runs.
I knew a Holbrook would be in there.
So. They have a chance, though, to sweep it, right? Because the boys baseball team, they have a chance to win the TCAL back-to-back also, right?
They do, yes. I don't have a whole lot to add to that, but that's just I mean, that's a testament to Lima Senior just being so deep in talent, because if you look at that roster, you'll say, well, none of these kids played basketball, or, you know, you don't see them in some of these other sports, and you're just like, well, you know, there are individualized athletes for just about every sport, and they are great at what they do at Lima Senior.
Chris, what would be wrong with pushing the season, softball and baseball season? Look, we see the football team start in July. We see them playing basketball over the Christmas holidays. What would be wrong with pushing the season back and ending it sometime in late June? I know school's out. I know that's the big hurdle.
It already ends in mid-June, so that's the thing.
Yeah, but I just think the weather's never going to change. Right. It's going to be the same, and you brought that up. In March, it's just
cold weather. Baseball and softball is tough.
It's not fun. It's not fun. You're wearing your pitching staffs out, especially for schools that don't have three pitchers, like you said. I mean, have they ever thought about – I heard somebody say one time, let's switch the football and baseball seasons and you'd never have a cancellations. And they're probably right. They're probably right. The state wouldn't do that.
No, absolutely not.
The people that decide this, though, are never the guys that swung on an inside fastball when it's 30 degrees.
And knocked one off your leg.
They never made that choice.
Well, I just want to say that my reasoning as to why they won't do that is there's already been a problem with kids skipping spring sports to play travel sports of some other, whether it's basketball, whether it's volleyball, whether it's, you know, anything, because once the winter ends, that stuff begins. And if you get deep into the summer, there's going to be, just a lot less spring sports participation when it comes to that, because the players that you want to be there just won't be there at the times that you need them to be. So,
yeah. Well, and even beyond that, I think that, you know, besides just a travel, I think you would see participation drop in a lot of areas. But you also got to think, if you did that, Dan, and you push, and you're talking about maybe, you know, regular season ending in mid-June and you're running your postseason to the end of June, you got schools start second, third week of August.
Yeah, that's true.
You do. You're only giving
families.
Well, but it does.
Yeah,
it's a problem. And you know, you're only giving people maybe four or 5 weeks off before you're right back at it. And then, you know, look, at the end of the day, we all know football it kind of rules the roost once it comes to
that. Amen, brother.
July 1, you're starting that. You know, you got your off-season stuff. August 1, practice starts. I just don't think that they'll ever look at doing that, mainly because you already kind of creep into June with track and softball and basketball state tournaments. Going any later than that, you're asking for kids to just be like, well, no, I want my summer. And, you know, I think that we're already talking about participation going down, specialization starting to take over, kids wanting to do the AAU and the clubs and, you know, foregoing high school stuff. And when you look at some programs, they just really can't afford less participation.
Let me ask you guys a question. Can I do that?
Yeah.
Defiance announced earlier this week that they reserve the right to charge to get into spring sports, which is something that most schools don't do around here. Now, the caveat to that is if you've been to Defiance spring sports facility, you'd be happy to give them $5 to walk around
there
because it's a great place. They tried to do it a little bit in tournament time. I know around COVID with spring sports too, but do you think the schools maybe should reserve the right to charge to get into those games? And do you think it's
I'm amazed that they don't.
Honestly, I think it's just too hard to police. Because you're basically talking softball and baseball at that point. Track, you know, you can charge like you would getting into a football game. But for softball and baseball, a lot of these places don't have sports compounds or ways to kind of filter in traffic. It's just out in the open. I mean, you could stand, you know, if you go to a place like LCC has a beautiful facility for baseball and for softball, but it's not like encased in anything. You could stand up by at the school on the sidewalk and still see what's going on if you wanted to.
Yeah. That's true.
And how are you going to go tell somebody they have to pay you $5 to watch that? And I think that's where schools run into the problem is trying to police and actually charge. Where's the entrance? And a lot of schools haven't built their spring fields, specifically softball and baseball, in a way where it's going to be conducive to do that, because I don't know why you wouldn't. Right? You charge for everything, enters into everything else. So I don't think that there's some like unwritten code that they're, you know, destroying by wanting to charge that. I'm surprised the school came out and said, hey, we may do that. Like, no, I think most people at this point in life understand that if I go to a varsity sport, I'm going to have to pay to watch it.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. Yeah, I really do. You've got to pay for officials. You've got to pay for people, maybe an announcer. At Upper Side of Valley, they have a gate that goes around the athletic complex and then one way in. And they could set a table up.
Yeah,
right,
not a lot
there.
Of places have
not
that,
a lot of
people
places have that. But they have a beautiful facility where you have to walk straight through that gate to get to the football field and to the softball and baseball fields. But I think you're right. I remember in the old days, the guys over at St. Mary's used to sit up on the railroad tracks and watch the football games.
Yep.
And how are you going to charge that?
Right.
You know,
or like when you're over at Columbus Grove and you got all those homes that are along the line,
the
right?
Four wheelers that park in the outfield fence.
Yeah. So I mean, I think that's more what it is than anything. You know, we glossed over tennis as well. You know, a lot of places don't have tennis courts even at their facilities. Right. They have to go somewhere else. LCC and Lima Senior, they go down to Froh Park and use those tennis courts and. That's, I think, where it starts to get tricky.
It amazes me every year that when people start going down the tournament trail in baseball and softball, they start complaining about paying, and I'm like, this is no different than any other
sport. You
got
an entire regular season for free.
And just to back up Danny's point there, the press release where they talked about charging for spring sports cited the rising cost of officials and game managers and stuff like that. And people, I don't know where people thought that money came from before, but you know, they're going to have to get it somehow, some way, and especially at places that have high-level facilities require high-level maintenance.
And a lot of high schools have went to putting signs on the outfield walls and things like that to generate money.
Oh, absolutely.
Because they're not charging for those.
Well, also, you can't now sit out there because now they've blocked your
view. Right, right. Yeah.
Baseball's very expensive. I mean, you'd buy a dozen baseballs. It's not cheap, right? Yeah. It is very an expensive sport to have, and when you have umpires, it gets very costly. So I think $5, who's that going to kill if you're going to go watch a baseball game?
Chris, you brought up a point last week when we were talking, you and I, about the head coach over at Crestview. You asked me how many years I thought he'd been there coaching baseball, and I said 15, 20. No, not even close.
How many years do you guys think that Jim Wharton has been the head coach
35?
At Crestview?
You're not even close.
Well, now I'm going to 50.
42.
42.
Oh, okay. I never would have guessed that high, but clearly
I don't know anybody's done something for 42 years.
He's done it for so long. He coached Diamond Dave Bowen.
Oh. Senior year.
Yeah, he did.
That was his first season.
Yeah,
Dave Bowen
and he survived it and still had 41 more years. Yeah. Randy Roberts and I got a chance to interview him on the night that they honored him there. That was a fantastic time, spending some time with him. What a great dude.
I think the guy could legitimately go for 50, too.
And he should.
If you ever see him coach or, you know, I'm lucky enough that I'm in the dugout at some points, and just hearing him coach, he's always thinking, and he keeps guys on his staff who are also at his level of experience, but also guys who I went to high school with who are you know, just more keen to, I guess, the current day climate of things. So the guy's doing it right, man, and he's just an all-out pro.
So before we, you know, get too far away, I mean, are there any, kind of back to softball, you got any teams, players, you know, that stand out this spring?
Oh, there's tons of them. One girl that we talked about extensively on this show is Lily Seifert.
Yeah.
She steps inside the circle and stands about 6 foot, you know, and she's got all the velocity in the world. I went to their WBL opener last year when they played Shawnee, and she pitched a no-hitter and hit 3 home runs. So
pretty good. Day
good luck stopping. Oh,
it was a good way to ensure that you get the victory.
She's
when you're
good
on
at
the
basketball
mound.
Too.
Very help yourself. Good at help your own cause. Yeah.
She's probably be pretty good at whatever she does at that athletic ability. Another one is an incoming freshman at Lincoln View. Her name's Isla Hughes. Another 6 foot pitcher that just kind of rolls in there. She sits high 60s with her fastball. Ooh. And you know, I don't know.
That's bringing.
I don't know how well people are familiar with the distance to the plate, ooh, but it's a lot closer in softball than it is in baseball. So a 67 mile an hour pitch just gets on you in a hurry. During her eighth grade year, she didn't lose a start. She went 8-0, struck out 121 batters, and only gave up 2 hits the whole season.
Jeez.
And this is a Lincoln View team that's 2 or 3 years removed from a state runner-up finish in softball, lost to a powerhouse in Strasburg, Franklin, and Eric Schwab. The last 3 years since he took over, they've won over 70 games. So that's a program that's very deep in talent. Unfortunately, the storm knocked out their outfield fence, so they have to get that figured out over the next couple of years. But the only thing that's more of a threat to that fence is those hitters, because they're just constantly zooming balls over the top of it.
Now, how do you see the WBL breaking down in a Mac and softball?
The WBL is fascinating because I think it's just so wide open. That we already mentioned Lily Seifert, but it seems like every one of those teams has that number one starter. There's, you know, at St. Mary's, Addison Vanderkeer. She's a underclassman who's also just got, you know, I could sit here and read off the numbers for you, but let's just say you don't want to step into the box against her. And then Walpock has Addison Fisher. She's future Purdue Fort Wayne Mastodon.
Nice.
And she's been a Division I commit for 2 years now. So people knew of her talent at a really young age, and they have a really experienced coach over there in Bill Sammons. And another guy who would be a great interview if you guys ever need one. But just to talk about her for a second, she completely retooled her pitching mechanics about 2 months before her junior season, and at the plate, she's equally as good. Last year, she started out with 32 hits in her first 40 at bats. It's like, what are you supposed to do with somebody who's that strong of a two-way player? As far as the MAC goes, Minster is definitely a program that you want to keep your eyes on. Their top arm, top bat is Brooklyn Osterlo. And, the unique thing about softball is the fact that you can just continuously throw the same girl over and over.
It's
because true. It's a different strain on your arm. Yeah. You don't necessarily get as fatigued or you're not as susceptible to injuries. And, they're a strong program. Parkway, heck of a strong program under Trey Stover. And, that's a tradition over there that's been carried on for years now.
Well, guys, we appreciate you coming in, Chris. That was it's a lot of information to take in, right? Yeah.
Did a great job.
Yeah.
That's one of the great things. We talk about it with all the sports. We talked about it in the fall. We talked about it in the winter. Spring is no different. The amount of talent that we have in Northwest Ohio and in our coverage area with these kids on the diamond and baseball, softball. We didn't even really get to track and all the
Another
great
segment,
athletes we
right?
have out there. Like, I mean, there's so many great athletes, and spring's no different. And, when it's all said and done and it's June and the respective state tournaments, we will be well represented from this area.
Tons of future Division I players. I think I named most of them, but there's plenty of them that I didn't get to, and there's tons of top teams. And let me tell you guys, the spring state tournaments are some of my best experiences in this business because, one, I love Firestone Park in Akron for softball, and I love Canal Park for baseball. And you guys have had all the experience in the world at Track State, and you say some of the best
amazing.
Experiences.
Yeah.
So, we're just incredibly blessed, and I just feel lucky to be along for the ride a little bit.
Well, thanks, brother. We appreciate it. Come back and see us again.
I will do. Appreciate you guys. Thanks.
Nice job.
Thanks.
They liked it so much the last time, we're going to do it again. We're going to have a bracket challenge. The boys' bracket was so big of a hit. Social media went crazy. WOSN went crazy. We're getting offers from all over the country, all over the world. I'm telling you, this is huge. Now we're going to do a girls' bracket. I'm telling you.
I thought it was amazing that people in Minneapolis were even calling about it. That was
Minnesota
so cool.
Is a underrated basketball state. I've told you guys that for a long time.
Yeah, I don't know why we just don't listen to you blindly
you should,
all the
you
time.
Should,
yeah, you're right. It has never gone wrong for us, ever.
The guy with the one camera. Well, you know what? You don't have to listen to me because we brought in experts for tonight. Chris Howell from the Lima News, Kelsey Beimer from WSN. Finally, people at the table that know what they're talking about.
You guys
Chris
must
was
be
here
the,
last week.
Well,
what are
you
talking
guys
about?
Yeah. Most of all, because you decided to have me back.
He was here last week when we did this with the guy. Yeah, what are you talking about?
And usually the guests get the thumbnail, but we got a full frontal of Danny Holbrook.
Yeah.
On the YouTube
it was King of the Court, a thing all about the kids.
And
we had two guests, and then it's just Danny.
Yeah.
And then even before we started, every camera, just Danny.
Nah. And my wife was in a restaurant. My picture was up there. It's a glorious life we have here.
It was weird that the restaurant was empty, though, right?
Like, you might want to introduce them again because people might not recognize Kelsey without a hat.
Nobody's going to know
before
what you're talking about.
We were eating out of the first segment, Kelsey.
We all knew it was coming. It. Yeah. No, none of our viewers know this. I like to wear a hat. Sue me, okay? Jeez.
But you also, wear, you, Kelsey, has, the, you know, the longer Kelsey has been involved with this group of people in some way or another, whether it's with you on Saturday's Miles, it's 93.1, it's WOSN.
I'm out of bounds from 9 to noon.
It's all, no matter, the longer she's been around, the group chat that we have for this show.
Which is ridiculous.
She is getting... meaner and meaner. The bite is getting a little bit stronger and stronger.
A girl can only take so much crap, you know? When you're with these three guys, it's over.
Somebody said to me the other day, why
it's not me.
It's not these three. It's mainly Miles.
No, there's a third. Well, there's a third. He's just behind the camera.
What? Somebody said to me the other day.
Nick Fraley, everybody.
Why do you guys, why do you and Nate and Miles hang out together so much? I said, because we have no other friends. We've destroyed every relationship we have. You know, we've destroyed it, and we're
Kelsey. Was, I mean, literally, is the princess of positivity, and
not
you
around
two,
us.
And you, had,
no.
you two have just ruined her.
She's mean.
She said on the thread last night that I was her nemesis. I was her evil.
No,
nemesis.
I didn't. You're not my nemesis.
Look, on the radio show, the if we're behind ever. On a segment, oh my lord,
that is
can
not
open
true.
The studio door.
This is
just stuck
true.
In the middle of family so therapy right now.
I'm the one who's not catching strays here, so I'm just going to stay under the radar.
This is how it is, everybody.
Well, we'll get back to our bracket.
Yeah, let's do this. Let's have a bracket challenge. Let's get started, guys. So same rules apply from last week pretty much, right, Miles?
Exactly same rules.
Yeah, games up to 7, win by 2, make it 3, right? Or make it to 3, right?
I'm sorry? What? Make it, take it.
Make it, take it. Sorry, yeah, make it, take it.
English
one
is hard.
One to make a 3 in shoot around gets first possession.
Right. We have officials, so if there's a foul, it results in a free throw.
Games are officiated. Everything inside the arc is worth 1. Everything outside is worth 2. Every possession must begin outside the 3-point line.
Right, so if you get a rebound, you can't put it back in. Right. You got to take it out to the 3-point line, restart your possession.
So let's get right after it. We're going to start with our first matchup. This is round 1. Ayla Grandy from Bluffton High School taking on Rylan Jones from Allen East High School.
Yeah, the all-time rebounder in Bluffton history, right? Ayla Grandy, 1,000-point scorer. Boy, what a contrast in matchups, right? You got Riley Jones, an unbelievable athlete, 3-sport star, so quick, so fast, and then you got the power of Grandy. This is a really tough matchup. I'm going to go with the speed of Jones, though, because I think it's in a long game up to 7 points. I think that's going to be the difference in that one.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that Rylan Jones and the way that she's able to move on the floor, you know, that guard play will come in big here. I mean, Grandy, if she's able to get underneath, I don't know that Rylan gets any rebound at all in this one. But the speed, I think, of Rylan will end up being too much ultimately, and that'll move her on.
Yeah, we got two future college athletes in this one, too. Ayla going to John Carroll to play basketball. And then, of course, Rylan Jones, Ashland track commit. And the speed should not be underestimated, as you guys mentioned in this one. I'll take Rylan Jones.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. This was honestly the hardest matchup for me. I literally, you know, was going back and forth like, oh, Rylan's so fast, you know. And
we never said that last week, Kelsey. This matchup is the hardest.
And we never said we really love this kid.
Those are things we never said. So you're right on.
Well, I was really like going back and forth. I'm like, oh, Rylan's so quick. But I'm like, but if she misses a shot, Grandy's getting the rebound, right? Yeah. So, but in the end, I did choose Rylan for this one. I just think her shot making so good, her quickness, her ability to make those shots to get to the basket, I really like. So I'm going to go with Rylan.
Yeah, this was a tough one, too. When you look at the matchup here, Grandy's going to take the ball, and she's going to go to the low post. Jones isn't going to stop that.
Right.
But the problem is she's not a ball handler. She's a back-to-the-basket kind of scorer. If she knocks in the first one, who knows if she is going to miss again? I mean, she's a really nice post player. But again, Jones, if she gets the ball first, she's going to be able to get around her. She's so quick. She's so athletic. I think I like Rylan Jones.
Well, even if Grandy decides I'm going to play off, right, Jones can make the jumper.
Exactly.
Right? So it's a tough matchup.
Yeah. And not to be undervalued here, but Ayla Grandy can't step out and hit that three-pointer.
Yeah. You're right.
3-1/4 against Lincoln View earlier this year, but the whole make it take it and the get around ability of Rylan Jones is a really X factor.
Next game, a little Crestview action. Casey Gregory, Ellie Klein. That's a great matchup.
Well, that's one of the things that we tried to do in the first round is put teammates against each other because it's a lot of intrigue, right? And imagine the arena being full of everybody from that town and trying to pick which one they're going to root for, right? That's going to be kind of tough. I'm going to go with Gregory right here. I just think just a little bit better defensively in this matchup. I think this is going to be one of those 9-7 overtime type of games. But I'm going with Casey Gregory.
I couldn't disagree with you more on this one. I think Ellie Klein is the best two-way guard in the entire district that we have around us. Nobody guards on ball better than her. She's got an outside shot, and she's really good at getting down in the post and using the step through to get some layups. This is Ellie Klein, and I don't think it's particularly close for me.
Good luck with that interview with Mark next year. Hey,
he understands. He coached her for the last 4 years.
Casey Gregory, a great player. I mean, I think that, you know, obviously she has a really good skill set, and, you know, it, could she win this one? Absolutely. But I agree with you, Chris. I think that Ellie Klein, what she can do on both sides of the basketball, make her very, very dangerous, especially in this one-on-one style format. And I think ultimately she'll those skills are going to overwhelm Gregory, and Ellie comes away with
it. You don't think you're going to get a little extra coaching to help on this one, huh? You don't think so?
I agree with these guys here. Ellie Klein, I mean, this is going to be a really good matchup. They're both 5'5". I do like that Ellie has a little bit more experience being a senior. Casey only a sophomore, and Ellie averages like 18.3 points a game, so she can score. I've seen them both a lot this year. They're both really good. I'm going to take Ellie here, but if we do this going forward in the next couple years, Casey is going to be up there for sure.
Yeah, two things for me. Ellie Klein is a senior, and she is a spot-up shooter. She can knock them down in a game of one-on-one. If you can knock down the shots, right, she can handle the ball. She can get around. Casey Gregory is a great player. Great player.
Absolutely.
Yeah, her sister's really good. Yep. You saw what she's doing in college this year. But I like Ellie Klein in this one. All right, guys, the next one, teammates again. We're going to Ottawa Glandorf. Caitlin, Kimmett, Carson, Erford. You want to talk about two really good players. Not these other kids aren't, but these are two outstanding players.
Yeah, you know, it's a great matchup again. You know, obviously, you know, just the pedigree of Ottawa Glandorf girls basketball and everything that goes into that one. But for me, listen, I am a huge fan of Carson Erford's game. Mm-hmm. I think that she is a fantastic player. She has played a ton of varsity basketball since day one over there, and that is not easy to do. She had to follow in a lot of really big footsteps, and she stepped up big time throughout her whole career. She's played next to some of the greats. She's become one of the greats, and I think Carson Erford wins this one.
Yeah, I'm with you, Nate. Carson Erford, I'm going to take on this one, although, I mean, the OG program, the girls, every program they have over there is absolutely fantastic. But I like Carson here. She's really athletic, averages almost 15 points a game. Caitlin does have a little bit of a size advantage. She's a senior as compared to Carson being a junior. So those are things I took into consideration. But in the end, I think Carson takes this one in a quick matchup.
I think you have to look at how each player got their points this year. And I think Caitlin Kimmett was a huge benefactor of the way Carson Erford played and played very well off of her. I think Carson Erford is the better isolation, you know, shot clock running down. If there actually was one, you throw the ball to her and she makes a play. This is Carson Erford.
Well, I just want to point out one thing, okay?
Kimmett, you're wrong.
Kimmett has probably her whole career there has heard Erford and Kimmett, right? Erford and Kimmett, right? This is now her opportunity to step forward and say, you know what? Kimmett first. Kimmett first. Kimmett can win this, right? However, Erford is a three-level scorer. I just think she scores a little bit easier. I'm going with Carson Erford.
Yeah, I am too, guys. I think Carson Erford is the second-best player in this whole thing.
Oh, foreshadowing.
Yeah, foreshadowing.
Player of the year, too, in District 8.
Well, there's no doubt about that. She's fantastic. She's led this team the last couple of years. She will continue to lead this team next year. Carson Erford is going to be All-State. Yeah, nothing wrong with Caitlin Kimmett. Fine basketball player. I just like Carson Erford in this one. Another matchup of teammates, and we go down to Fort Loramie. What a tradition that school has. I mean, every year we see them.
Yeah,
this is a really tough matchup. Avery Brandaway, Victoria Mesher, and guys, I'm going to reveal who I think is the number one seed in this tournament, and it's Avery Brandaway. Yeah. I think she is fantastic. I raved about her when I got to call her game this year. I only got to call one of her games this year. You guys were there. She is a special, special player. Anytime you're that size in a girl's game and you can do what she does, I mean, the whole time that game's going on, I'm going, what? What did she do? What did she do? And yeah, she's my number one seed.
Well,
so I'm giving it away. I'm giving it away. I'm going with Avery Brandaway.
As Lee Corso likes to say, not so fast, my friend, right? Remember, this is a wide court. Yeah. This is one-on-one, right? Who handled the basketball for them? Yeah. Oh, Mesher, right? She's going to use her size and her ability to handle the basketball to get around Brandaway. And I've got Victoria Mesher using her ball skills.
Whoa.
Moving on.
Yeah, you're just continuing to rack up a long list of being wrong, Miles. It's crazy.
I knew he was going to say that.
I agree with pretty much everything that Danny said. I'm going with Avery Branowy here. I think that, you know, the interesting part of this whole thing, right, is when you watch Fort Laramie play, they are known so much for that defense and that pressure they put on the basketball. So that's going to be which one of these guys can handle that. They're used to seeing it, and you're right. Mesher handles the basketball. And it, but
with that size,
but
quickness?
I just think when it's all said and done, the skill set of Branowy, I think that she can accomplish a little bit more. I think she's going to be able to shoot over. I think she'll be able to create her own space, and I think ultimately that'll give her enough room to be
she's
able to
not
get the
to
shots
be able to
and
finish
win.
Inside against Mesher. Nope.
Avery Branowy was virtually unguardable against Ottaville, and that is a team that is absolute defensive tradition under it.
He knows the third vote's coming. Miles is going, seriously? Seriously, Chris? We are friends.
I mean, why put it off much longer? I mean, Victoria Mesher, she's going to be a college volleyball player. Avery Branowy, going to be a college basketball player. She wins this. She's the pure basketball talent.
Can I write that in?
Yeah. I'm going Branowy as well. Yeah, Division 7 player of the year. I love her ability to score. I'm choosing Branowy.
You know what? This is my new favorite segment. Miles is wrong.
Yeah.
And every kid that watches this tomorrow night would be like, please don't pick me, Miles. Please don't pick me.
Now, wait a minute. Buckets Berkey I picked last week, right?
Yeah.
I got the king right. And the Mesher family loves me.
We're going to hear that for a long time. All right, guys, next matchup, Lily Seifert and Macy Heckathorn. Guys, I got the chance to watch Macy Heckathorn over at Ken. She's a fantastic post player. Really like her. But look, Lily Seifert, my goodness.
Yeah. So good.
Another matchup where I'm going to let somebody else start.
I'm going last.
It's fine. I have no problem going first here. Nothing wrong with Macy Heckathorn. I like her game. She's a great player. But yeah. I'm telling you what. Before it's all said and done, Lily may be one of the best players that's come out of
this
area.
I mean,
she is a fantastic. I mean, I watched her against Lima Senior and what she was able to do and how she was able to score. I mean, she single-handedly moved that team through that game. It is so much fun to watch her. And, you know, the scary thing is she's a softball player. She's a soccer player, right? She is fantastic in everything she does. But on the basketball floor, being able to watch her play, for me, this one really isn't close. It's Lily.
Yeah, they say she might be the best athlete, second best female athlete ever out of Elida, other than Kelsey Beimer.
With a hat or without a hat.
Yeah, Nate, 30-11 in that game against Lima Senior. And let's not forget that she went down with a knee injury earlier on in the tournament, and most people didn't think she'd be playing basketball for 6 months plus after that. So the fact that she played as well as she did hurt, I can't wait to see her at 100%, and she wins this matchup.
Yeah, I actually had Macy written down, but just sitting here talking with you guys. I didn't want to be biased toward Elida, but Lily Seifert, I'm telling you, she is the real deal. I wanted to give it the benefit of a senior versus a sophomore, but Lily Seifert is just unreal. And a little bit of my Elida bias is coming in there, but she's a name to hear or look out for the next couple of years.
I don't think it's biased at all, Kelsey. Yeah, she's a sophomore, Macy's a senior, but I'm telling that when you watch Lily play, I think regardless of the experience that Macy has, she won't be able to overcome Lily's skill set. Yeah.
Guys, it's springtime. It's raining. What grows in the spring? Daffodils and lilies. I'm telling you, Lily is going to win this one. And I think Macy Heckthorne's a heck of a player. I've said that all year.
It's the worst pun you've ever had
on this show.
It's the worst
one. Terrible one.
Like, did you say that in your head? Like, oh, this will be good?
I'll be getting letters from Lily going, thank you, Mr. Heckathorn. Really appreciate that. So we're going to put
letters. Like, kids know what letters are.
It's 1928. I've got to find Mr. Holbrook's address.
Right after the milkman delivers.
Why didn't you go with your old newsboy voice?
I'm going to. Get your paper in. Next matchup, Erica Turbin and Carly Turbin. It's the Turbin matchup. Ottaville's finest.
Kelsey, why don't you start us off?
I went with Carly on this one. Two sisters, Ottaville, we've talked about them already. Fantastic basketball team. I like how Carly has a little bit of a size advantage, and she averages more points per game as well. So just for that reason, I'm going to go Carly.
I really liked Carly against Fort Laramie because she continued to play, right? That shows me she has tenacity. She scored a lot of points late in that one where she could have just kind of folded and laid down. But this is one of those that I'd love to see in the driveway over at their house. This would be a knockdown dragout.
Miles, if you show up in their driveway and watch them play, the cops are getting called.
You know, this is what we kind of got a little bit in our last bracket, right, we did have the family matchup with Willie and Sean Foster, but we didn't get the sibling matchup. You know, Trevick and Beckett didn't end up going up against each other. Yeah. You know, we get that here. This is one of those matchups where there's an answer. It's somebody call up the German household and ask, hey, who's winning out in the driveway?
Yeah,
they've done this. You know, so no matter what we say, I guarantee you that they're going to be watching this going, no. We already know who wins. My guess, though, if you know you play this 10 times out in the driveway, ultimately who's going to end up winning the, you know, break that tie at, you know, 4-4 and take this one at a, you know, 6-4 win, I'm going to go with Carly.
Yeah, how many times do you think they've made each other cry, right? In the driveway, right?
Hard foul, that's not a foul.
Right. I think the older sibling always has that advantage, right? They know how to get under this skin.
That's what I did last week with the Sensible Balls. I went with older brother, I'm going with older sister.
Yeah. All we're doing here is creating family drama. because I'm about to pick one of these girls to win, and the other one's going to be mad at me, and then they're going to fight because he's an idiot. No, he doesn't. No, you know, I'm just going Carly just to get done with this, okay? So we're moving on. Yeah, Carly wins that one.
How'd you get off the hook?
I don't know. What are you doing?
Oh, so
I lost track. I got scared.
No, the rest of us aren't jumping on this, and he gets off the hook.
No, preferably, I'd rather see these two in a 3-point contest than a one-on-one matchup. But let's not forget that Carly, she was a 1,000-point scorer and basically missed all of 1 year of her career. Yeah. And like I said, you know, they both had those games where they made 8 or 9 threes. I think they broke each other's single game record at one point. But I think Carly is a little bit of more well-rounded player, and I'll take her in this matchup.
Okay. So we all agree? We're all good? All right, guys. Next matchup, near and dear to my heart, Ava Unrest and Taitlin Ferreira. I'm just telling you
Taitlin what?
Ferreira.
Okay.
Ferreira.
Okay. Yeah.
I wasn't going to say anything, but Miles is that guy.
That's exactly how you pronounce it, Ferreira. Yeah. You were like, Ferreira. Yeah. Look. I have to walk by her every day.
Not a Christmas song.
You've missed every one of these, all right? You've made every human being.
I got Carly right. I got Carly right.
I work at Waynesville Goshen. I'm not going against Taitlin Ferreira. She is in a lot of classes I'm in. She is a first-team All-Stater. She is a really good basketball player. This kid is moving on.
Danny, on the basis of the Three Wise Men karma, she was on our show.
Yes.
Right? She smile that just beams off the,
she's fantastic,
off the floor.
Kid.
It's unbelievable. But she's not good enough to win this one, unfortunately. Unrest is moving
on. Let's just go around the table and see.
So, you know, I look at this one.
Don't forget we got dinner tomorrow.
And admittedly, you know, these are probably two girls that I have seen the least amount play. And so it makes it hard when you're trying to pick these and you don't really have a ton
of,
you know, background for
stable.
Their of their game. And so simply because I love Miles being wrong, I'm going with Taitlin.
Oh my God. He just picked the first team All-Stater.
He did.
Yeah.
Congratulations. That's a great idea.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to put the pressure on Kelsey here because I look at this matchup and I just think that Taitlin Ferreira really benefited off of having another 1,000-point score across
the court. That's a great point, Chris. That's
Reagan
a great point.
Oh, let's punish her because she's got a good teammate.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, that, you know, when you got a big threat over there, it's not as much of a spread out
print
attack.
Guys.
But that defensive tradition at Marion Local, too, Beth Strieb, they just they know how to get after
she's
it.
She's got
to
lock her down.
The ball. So I'll take Ava Unrest.
Let's have the beautiful Princess of Positivity, who might be the wisest person
so
we've ever had.
So it's 2-2 right now. It's 2-2.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say I also love Miles being wrong, but that's not why I'm going to pick Taitlin here.
She saw Taitlin play.
I did. She, 6 foot. She's a senior, just averages under 20 points a game. We had her here on the podcast. She's absolutely fantastic.
She was great.
I like her in this matchup.
Taitlin.
And listen, if Ava's upset, in full disclosure, prior to about 30 seconds ago, I was moving Ava on.
Oh.
So Ava, you're being held back because of Miles.
Oh.
All the hate can be me. It's Miles.
It's not
fault.
You. It's me.
The bottom line is Ava Unrest could beat everybody at this table.
Oh,
all right, guys. What a matchup for the last game in the first round. Teammates, the Bulldogs,
what
Lauren Ocklady,
matchup.
Nicole Nesby. Man. This is a great matchup. This is two players who have a state title with the Columbus Grove Bulldogs. Lauren Ockmoody, the Division VI Player of the Year. Nicole Nesby was really the driving force that got them to where they needed to be. Yeah. Get the ball to the post. She was automatic. I'm going to let somebody else pick this one first. This is a good one.
I'll go first because it's a matchup that has some serious bite.
Yeah.
Bulldog.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
And he wants to go first to take the heat off himself, so he doesn't want to be the deciding
factor. No, because I got some definite thoughts about this, right? If Nesby can make this a free throw shooting game by backing down Ockmoody, going to have that advantage, right? If she can get it into a low post and Ockmoody, if it gets to a low post, what's her choice? She's going to have to foul or try to steal the basketball. If she can get into a free throw shooting game, Nesby has a chance. However, Ockmoody, if she gets the ball first, she wins this one, right? The step back three, the quickness, the dribble around Nesby. I'm going to go with Ockmoody because she's the senior, and we all know how tenacious she is, right?
So, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that step back shot that Ockmoody has because we all know about it. We've all seen it, you know, and there's nobody that has seen it more than Nicole Nesby.
Oh, that's true.
Right? She has seen it. She potentially has had, you know, has a little insight on how maybe she can try to defend that or misdirect it. You know, unfortunately, as soon as you start playing that step back, Ockmoody's like, I'll fake that. I go around, to the basket.
Seen that a lot this
year. And Ockmoody's skill set, I think Nicole is a fantastic player, but there's going to be very few people who have a skill set to be able to defend Lauren Ockmoody at every part of the floor. And that's where Lauren Ockmoody can score. Anywhere on the floor in almost any way that she sees fit. And we've seen her at times also struggle, right? You go back to that state semifinal against Minster where they really kind of started to shut her down. She still found ways to affect the game and be able to, you know, draw fouls, get herself to the free throw line, and ultimately ended up doing what we all know she did, which was hit the game winner at the end to send them to that state final game. And I think that's kind of how this game goes. Even if Nicole gets a little physical and knocks Lauren off the line a little bit and causes some misses, and maybe the officials miss some of those calls, keeps Nicole into this one, ultimately, just that tenacity that Lauren Ockmoody had is going to be too much, and she's going to end up being able to win this one and finish.
How about Nate? It's a one-on-one tournament, and he finds a way to offend officials.
I told you, we have no friends. We alienated ourselves from every...
Jim Tarr missed that one.
Nate will officiate the tournament.
Nobody wants that. You want a lot of missed calls? Let me go ahead and officiate.
Look, Lauren Ockmoody grew up playing one-on-one with Blake Reynolds, and then she liked doing that so much she decided to break all of his records at Columbus Grove, so I'll take her.
Yeah, I've been really lucky to see Ann call a lot of games for Columbus Grove this year, and I don't think I've talked about anyone more on that team than Nicole Nesby. I mean, I just think her presence in the post is unreal. She's a really, really great player, adds a lot to that team. But Danny wasn't shy about his number one seed, and I'm not going to be either. Mine is Lauren Ockmoody. She's just her footwork, her athleticism, her basketball IQ is just unmatched. So
you know what I think is funny? You know, you two have said your number one seeds.
Yeah.
I know a mine one, and it's different than you guys. That's three different ones.
That just shows how good all these girls are.
You know, I don't know what you're like. For me, it's Carson Erford.
This is already out.
I think you know, for my number one seed is Carson Erford. You know, I don't know what you guys.
She's my number two.
How can Danny have two number ones though? With Taitlin.
Number one in my heart.
Oh, okay.
Good save there.
Definitely didn't look like you panicked for a moment.
Think of something. Guys, Lauren Ockmoody is the Division VI Player of the Year.
Yeah.
She led this team for 4 years. She's the all-time leading scorer. Nicole Nesby is a really good player. She ain't beating Lauren Ockmoody in this one. Sorry, Nicole. Have you on the show again. Lauren Ockmoody's moving on.
She ain't beating.
That's right.
There's that roundhead coming out.
Right. Trash days of 26.
You just talked about how Taylin's in a lot of your classes over at Waynesfield.
Yeah.
And maybe reevaluating your employment over there.
No, he has her still moving on.
I'm just talking about like she ain't beaten.
Oh. Mr. Holbrook, your assignment's English.
I ain't teaching English. I ain't teaching English.
What movie are you watching today, Mr. Holbrook?
Shawshank Redemption.
What?
Yeah,
no,
it's a good
movie.
Show
that.
Yeah. Oh, maybe that or Stroke or Ace, Burt Reynolds. Yeah.
Nobody knows what that is.
Yeah, no, it's
all right, next round.
All right, next round. Elite Eight, guys. There's only eight girls left. Are you kidding me? What a matchup. We start the second round.
We get
round
math,
with.
Danny. 16
yeah,
to 8.
Go to
yes,
eight.
We get
well,
it.
I'm doing it for Nate.
Okay.
Look. Rylan Jones, Ellie Klein, They played each other in the district semifinals. They guarded each other in the district semifinals. Yeah, yeah. This one's a dandy.
Yeah, so you guys love Ellie Klein. I get it. She's a fantastic player, right?
Somebody's burnt.
Okay, yeah. But listen. You got to go with the experience here, right? Don't you, with Rylan Jones? I have the senior. I think their games are very comparable, right? So what's the difference? The experience. And so I have Rylan Jones moving on.
So I just go back to what we talked about with Ellie Klein in that first matchup against Casey Gregory and just her ability on both sides and just how good she is. And she'll be able to create off ball. I think Rylan Jones is a fantastic basketball player. So when you get into close matchups like you talked about and you got two players that are kind of similar, when you talk about this one-on-one, I almost fall back on who's the basketball player and who's the athlete that plays basketball. Ellie Klein is the basketball player. Okay. Rylan Jones is an athlete who plays basketball. Very good players. Right. But I'm going to default to Ellie Klein here, and I got her moving on.
Okay. Right, so Jones was just an athlete, but she rewrote all the records over.
Well, she's an athlete who plays basketball. She's really good at what she does, but basketball is not. Now, can you imagine if basketball was Rylan Jones's? But that's not what her number one thing is. She's a track star. She only got into a lot of this stuff. She even told us when she was on the show, she got into all these other things to stay in shape for soccer. And then that ends up, I think, probably being number three.
So we're going to penalize her because she's really good at everything.
Listen, just because you're mad, like it's fine. Like, you can be angry all you want, but it's not going to change the
is
fact.
Is this open?
I'm not angry. You're not me.
Yeah.
I'm more than happy with my choices.
Let's hope for Miles' sake, Ellie Klein comes back for her fifth year.
That's right.
Year.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe she got that eligibility. NIL
money. But, you know, for your information on that, you know, she had 1,000 career points. She's the career assist leader at Crestview. She was 2-0 against Rylan Jones this season. And guess what? She outscored her 42-22 in points.
All the more reason.
Including a 35-point double overtime win during the regular season. This is Ellie Klein.
Oh, man. that's what Chris just did.
It's 2-1, and Kelsey's
are so mean.
Up.
Yeah. I mean, you guys are kind of swaying me here, but I'm going to go with what I had on the paper and – Miles, I'm gonna go with you. Rylan Jones.
Yes.
I think so she's just such a fantastic athlete. I mean, the fact that we even have, well, I have her going so far in this tournament, and she didn't even choose basketball. Mm-hmm. But what if she did choose basketball? She could play collegiate level.
I'm not saying you're wrong, but even if she chose basketball, Ellie Klein. I still think Ellie Klein is in this matchup. Yeah. I mean, and you heard what Chris said. These two have gone after each other.
Yeah, five stats.
Yeah,
to pick that, Ellie Klein for
those us, stats so. There because I'm a numbers girl. That's what I do day in day out for work, and that was kind of like, oh, I didn't know.
All right, great.
But regardless,
hey, Mr. Holbrook,
I'm going
Make change at Burger King.
You can turn stats any way you want.
You can.
Yeah.
I think in this tournament, Rylan Jones is the best athlete. I'm talking athlete. And in a tournament like this, you got to have some athletic skill.
Stamina.
Soccer and track she's really good at. I don't know how you say she's not really, really good at basketball. Not
who said she wasn't?
No, not you said that.
But you
said
it's not making stuff up now to help your argument.
You said it was.
Let's just rewrite what we said.
You said it wasn't her main sport.
It's not.
What between
doesn't mean she's bad
between
at
the
it.
End of October and now it was she was really good at it.
Yeah. She told us it was
until Ellie Klein decided to end her season. But let's get past that part.
Whoa. Man,
well we can't judge. That's one game. Rylan Jones is moving on. Well,
that's what we're talking about. Rylan Jones.
He's
beat
her twice. We're not talking about.
You heard the man. You heard the man.
Hey, 1v1 is different from the team sport anyway. So. Yeah,
that's fine. Integrity has just gone out the window for the show at this point.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, because we're moving on a player of the year and a great, whatever. Yeah. Okay. No. Oh, gosh, I got to calm myself down here.
Danny, okay. I think you should go first on the next one.
I think I will. Yeah, because this is a heck of a matchup. Mm-hmm. Avery Brandewey, Carson Erford. Oddly enough, it's my number one and number two seeds.
Wait. Taitlin?
In my heart. Oh, in my heart. Okay. Yeah. Shut up. I got to go back to school tomorrow. Two fantastic players. Two really multi-skilled athletes who can do anything on the court you ask them to do. I just happen to like, for me, Avery Brandewey. I think Carson Erford's fantastic, but I'm going to take Avery Brandewey in this one. I just think it's too close to call, and I don't think you can go wrong either way. If Avery Brandewey doesn't win this, I'm going to be like, oh, okay, because Carson Erford is that good.
So I'll go next just to try to see if I can't get my argument out here. For
4 miles.
Because you know, I've already said my number one seed is Carson Erford. I love Carson Erford's game. I'm taking her to move on against Brandon Wheat here because a lot of what we talked about in that first round matchup, right, is that pressure and, you know, that Fort Laramie does it, and that, you know, that defensive pressure that they put in, right? Yeah. But Carson Erford sees that every day too because that's what OG plays. We saw this matchup. It goes back to what we talked about with Rylan Jones, right, and with Ellie Klein. We've seen this matchup. Carson Erford knows how to play in these games. She knows how to create. She can create space. She can create her shot, and she can make from anywhere on the floor. I ultimately think that I think this is close. I haven't called for any overtime games in either bracket that we've done. I think this is an overtime type game.
Walk us through it.
But I think that Carson Erford, when it's all said and done, probably an 8-7 game. She's going to get a big rebound when she needs to. She's going to be able to go quickly. She's going to get Brandon Wheat leaning the wrong way, gets herself to the basket, and finishes
at
the
rim.
I'd
like to show you something. Watch this. Nate, that is a logical explanation. I'm very proud of you. See how that works? Not...
do I sound like that?
If I had to close my eyes, I wouldn't have known the difference. I'd be like, why is Miles complaining again?
I look like Baby Huey?
No. You said that. I didn't.
So I go with Carson Erford. I got her moving.
All right.
You're wrong, but that was a great explanation.
After the filibuster that Nate just went on, I'm going to agree with you, my friend. I like Erford. I had Mesher beating Brandaway in round one. So I think, though, if this is one of those 8-foot and in games, Brandaway wins that. But I don't think it's going to be. I got Erford moving on.
Yeah, this is this feels like one of those championship games that's played before the championship. I think I, in my head on the way here, picked Brandon Wheat before this, but I'm just way more intimidated by Troy Yant, I think, than Carla Siegel because he's kind of the silent killer there. And Carson Erford, still just a junior. She's going to take another step forward next year before she hits Findlay and joins the rest of Putnam County playing college ball over there. So I'm going to ride with Carson Erford on this.
Well, she already won, but I chose Brandon Wheat if it makes any difference. I just... Two really, really great basketball programs in Fort Laramie and OG, but I do like Avery. Regardless, Erford's moving on, right?
I can't argue with that. Honest to goodness, I can't. I mean, you guys made great arguments. You know, we were right, but you know what? How do you argue with Carson Erford moving on in a tournament?
Right. And I think you said it well, too, Danny. I mean, like...
Don't tell him.
I knew right when that came out of my mouth, someone was going to
say it. Get him a little bit.
But, like, if there's one... slip up in this, it goes the other way. I mean, this is a close match of two really, really good players, so it could really go either way.
Chris is right, though. It could be the championship matchup earlier.
It could. A lot of these. Yeah.
Lily Seifert, Carly Turbin. What a matchup of two fantastic players. We're going to start
with
Kelsey.
You've gone first yet, have you, Kelsey?
I don't think so. I'm going to go with Lily. I mean, we kind of gave her all the praises there in the first round. I love what they're doing. I love what Coach Jenkins is doing on that Elida squad. She's just a sophomore, 5'10", averages over 15 a game. I think she put up 30 in that game against Lima Senior, didn't she? She's just, and it's not rare for her to be putting up 20-plus points in a game. I just love the way she plays. I think she's going to get better and better each year. I'm going to go with Lily here.
I'm just going to agree because I think at – present time, she's probably the best athlete left in this, outside of maybe Rylan Jones, depending on how you view athletes. So I'll take Lily Seifert because her ability to just step out, hit the jumper, but also just take the ball over top of a small guard, it's something that she showed a huge ability to do in that district tournament, and continue to do it here.
Yeah, but I think a little bit of an emotional letdown after knocking off her sister in round one. Carly's gonna have a lot of that energy drained. I just like Lily's game. You know, we talked about that in that first matchup, but it'll be Lily for me in this one.
I'll see if I can top Danny here. Most people say that roses are the most beautiful, in this case, it's Lily's.
Lily's in the valley.
Lily's moving on. I just love her quickness. I think her ability to use her quickness around Carly, that's the advantage.
Yeah, I look at this, guys. In 20 years from now, people are going to talk about the resurgence of Elida girls basketball, and she's, you know, how good is she? You know, she's a dynamic scorer in regionals this year, and nobody expected that. And I got Lily moving on. All right, next matchup.
No. Did you want to go last on this one, Danny?
I don't want to go at all. Yeah. Taitlin Ferrilla from Waynesville Goshen and Lauren Ockmoody from Columbus Grove. I'm going to go first. I'm going to get this out of the way. I'm going to pull the tooth out, all right?
Do you want to bleep it or anything?
No, I don't want to bleep it. Taitlin knows my love for her and her family. They're great people.
So you're picking Taitlin?
Nope, I'm taking Lauren. Lauren is my number three seed. Lauren is a dynamic scorer. We've all seen this. We've talked about her all year long. Taitlin is a great basketball player. Again, we're prefacing what we always do when we take kids to not move on. But Lauren Ockmoody is a special player, and she's going
to
move on.
Yeah, I could see Taitlin reaching out to shake hands to Lauren, and Lauren just looking at us like, I'm going to crush you. Right? Lauren's moving on.
Yeah, same. I think Lauren moves on. I think this is, no shade to Taitlin, but I think Lauren is able to move on pretty easily in this one. We've talked about Lauren a ton over the last couple of weeks and in this bracket, but I just think she'll just kind of overpower Taitlin in this one.
I picked Ava Unrest in the first round, and I actually think that she would have a better shot at beating Lauren Ockmoody in one-on-one, but since she's not here, we'll take Lauren Ockmoody for sure.
So if just for fun here, because I also just for fun here. let's say I hadn't voted against Miles to vote against Miles and Ava moved on. Do you got Ava beating Lauren here?
Ooh,
maybe. Yeah.
All right. Just curious.
Lauren,
it's a big maybe.
All right, guys, it's the final four. Wow.
16?
Yes.
8?
Yes.
Now 4.
I know it. They're playing the final four.
I've seen
four.
A pattern here. When we're done, we only have 2 left, right?
Guys.
I've gotten the pattern figured out, smaller.
Guys, get ready. We're playing this in Omaha, Nebraska.
That the center of the basketball world, right?
We're giving them their credit. They're due. We're playing in Omaha. I didn't want to go to San Antonio. We've all been to the Riverwalk. We're going to Omaha.
Is Billy Tubbs the tournament director? What's going on here?
Rylan Jones, Carson Erford, maybe the 2 best athletes left in the tournament, right?
Well, you know, sometimes people think being a great athlete in many sports is a hindrance.
Yeah,
to
that's also
on,
not
right?
even close to what I said. So again, I just love how you just think that I'm going to sit here and let you completely twist
you know what
I said.
We're great media members because we twist everything he says.
That's fine, but it's also not going to work. So that's not what I said at all.
So let's let Chris get started on this one.
For this one.
Great right. analysis. Yeah, well,
just a deep breath. Carson Erford versus Rylan Jones. This is Carson Erford because I didn't pick Rylan Jones to get past Ellie Klein. I think Carson Erford is the better pure basketball player, and she's much more physical. Rylan Jones had a propensity to foul out at times this year, and I think that that's something that Carson Erford will really draw out of her is the contact or, you know, the elusiveness, if you will. Carson Erford.
Yeah, I agree with you on that, Chris. Erford can't finish through contact, right? And I think she's going to take the basketball right to the chest of Jones, either get herself an opportunity at a free throw or make a tough basket through contact. Erford, I got moving on like Chris.
Yeah, I'm taking Carson Erford. I mean, like Chris, obviously, I had, you know, Ellie Klein moving on. Now I think an Ellie Klein, Carson Erford matchup would have been fantastic to talk about and debate, but it's not
but she
here
lost to Jones,
but it's not here. Rylan Jones is here, and so I mean, obviously, I didn't even have this matchup on this way. I think Carson Erford takes care of Rylan Jones, moves on to the finals.
Yeah, I had Avery Brandewee here, obviously. I had her going to the finals. I won't go that far as to say who I chose, but I had Avery going to the finals. But since she's not here, I do think I will stick with Carson to beat Rylan here. Two really fantastic athletes, but I think at this point, Carson makes it.
Yeah, I'm going to go clean sweep, get the broom out. Carson Erford is on to the finals. Rylan Jones, great job getting to where you got there. Avery Brandaway should be there, but obviously she's not. And I really need a little Debbie. The sugar's dropping. Yeah, things aren't going well for me, but Carson Erford moves on. She's in the finals. Now, who will she compete against for the queen of the court? And that'll be Lily Seifert or Lauren Ockmoody.
You want to get started, Kelsey?
This is a hard one because I told you guys my number one seed was Lauren Ockmoody, but you know how much I love Lily Seifert's game. I got to go Lauren here, though. I mean, Division VI Player of the Year, state champ. Lily's just a sophomore, although fantastic player.
Is it Seifert or Seifert?
I thought it was Seifert.
It's Lily.
It's Lily. I'm going Lily, yeah.
I don't know for sure. I thought it was Seifert, but I could also be wrong.
Okay, no,
we got you covered either way, Lily.
I thought it was Daffodil or something. Nah, I don't know.
Yeah, but right now I'm going to go Lauren Ock-Moody, but wouldn't it surprise me if we see Lily in the finals here in the upcoming years?
Yeah, for me, I'm going with experience on this one. You know, I think that Lily had, like I mentioned, I think when it's all said and done and, you know, we're sitting here in 2 years, I think that Lily has an opportunity to go down as one of the best players that has come out of this area in some time. But right now, that's Lauren.
Yeah.
Lauren is one of the best 100%. Players that's going to come out of this area, and I think that this is her matchup.
So, you know what kills flowers, right? Lots of rain. Too much rain. Too many raining threes by Lauren Ock-Moody.
That's just stupid.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. I love that one.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks for flowers. Too much, though. Too much rain will kill them.
How stupid is that?
And raining threes is what's going to happen too many times, and Lauren Ock-Moody wins.
Well, Lauren or Lily rhymes with silly. Lauren rhymes with moving on. Not really. Yeah, sort of.
He really thinks it does.
It does,
unfortunately.
A little bit. Yeah. Lauren Ock-Moody
thanks, Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, player of the year. And here's the other thing, too, that we're not even thinking about. We get a Putnam County championship matchup here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. OG Columbus Grove. Mm. Don't like
imagine
each other.
Imagine a tailgate with this one.
Oh, yeah. Man. So it, we need to 50-50. Sell this.
Oh,
so this
50,
is great.
This 50-50 would be amazing.
Yeah. So I like Lauren. And they're going to be like teammates in another couple years, right? At Finley.
Yep.
Yeah. So get the hate out now.
There
we got a championship.
Four
game.
Girls in this bracket who are going to play Finley basketball pretty soon.
Yeah.
And
right?
One of them is going to play volleyball at Finley. So we are creating a pipeline for one of the better D2 schools in the country.
Spoiler oiler alert. We got them all going in.
Spoiler
oiler.
That's a good one, right?
Something.
It's like, why am I here?
Why do we do this show every week?
I could have swore I quit in the group chat.
Okay, a couple times.
You have a lot. Championship matchup for Queen of the Court. Beckett Berkey has already won the men's division. This is the women's division. This is the biggest thing since Cupie became a restaurant here in town.
That's big.
Oh, that's huge. Carson Erford, Lauren Ock-Moody, we're starting with Chris.
Sounds good to me. Because I was actually...
He's so excited.
No.
Yeah, I'm really pumped up, Fanny. Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Danny, for having me on the show.
Somebody's got to stay even keel on this panel. But, you know, I was at the regular season matchup when their two teams played each other. And what I saw in that, that was one of the only times I've seen Columbus Grove frustrated all year. And that was because of the guard pressure on their scoring guards. And Carson Erford was obviously a huge part of that. There were a few other girls who were really prominent in their roles as well. But I like Carson Erford in this one. She doesn't get worn down very easily, and she never stops coming at you on the defensive end. So, you know, Carson Erford.
So I'm going to get the second vote out of the way because I also think it's going to be Carson Erford. You know, when we talked to Lauren Ock-Moody and we had her here on the panel with her teammates and coach, you know, she specifically talked about that OG matchup and, you know, how that game really frustrated them. And that was kind of a catalyst for them for the rest of the season as they got back and they had those back-to-back losses. And she called out that OG loss specifically.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think that's because obviously she had such a difficult time. Against that defense specifically by Carson. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I talked about how much I love Carson's game and how she can create, and she, you know, Lauren can do the same thing, but I think ultimately it'll be the defense. I think that Carson is going to cause enough disruption, get a couple of steals, get herself a couple of back-to-back baskets. That ultimately is going to be the difference here. And I have Carson winning it.
All right. I agree with you at the beginning. I think Erford gets off to a really big start, maybe even a 5-0 start, right? And then Ock-Moody tries to figure things out, and she does. Uses her quickness, gets some steals. This one's going to be tied up at 7-7. All right, and it's going to be Ock-Moody's ability to get to the rack late in this one to tie it up at 7-7. She gets the ball. She's going to look like she's going to attack again with a dribble drive. Erford's going to take a step back. Uh-oh. Ock-Moody steps back, drains the three ball to win it 9-7. Ock-Moody wins on.
It's 2-1. Who wants to jump in here?
I will. I'm going to tie it up, and I'm going to go Lauren Ock-Moody here. I mean, this is too. I
hate you guys. To God, I do.
Imagine the text messages you're going to get.
But yeah,
Bill's on the phone already.
I'm going to go with Lauren. I mean, two really, really fantastic players. They both deserve to be here. I don't know. I just, when I see Lauren play, I don't know that I've seen a more dialed in, laser focused player. I mean, I think when it comes to one-on-one, it's going to take a lot to beat Lauren. So that's why I'm choosing her to win it.
All right, Daniel.
Okay, so here's how.
Send your hate mail to Daniel Holbrook.
Danny Holbrook, WSN. Look, Carson. This is weird, wild stuff.
Oh,
Johnny Carson.
Lord.
Gotcha.
Yeah, no, we got it. We always get it.
Choosing to not acknowledge.
Yeah, like we always get it. We always get it. It's fine. And stop stalling.
And then you're so right. And then you've got Scoring Lauren.
I like that one better.
Yeah. Look, she's a state champion. Yeah. I just remember this. You and I were there. She had 0 points in the district championship game at halftime, and she was the best player on the floor. Yeah. She was running the show. You were there.
Partially because of Ellie Klein's defense for the rally. Anyway. Go on.
How much are the Kleins paying you?
Yeah, right? Like,
I just go with what I see with my eyes.
Carson Erford, fantastic player. I mean, we couldn't have got a better matchup. Lauren Ockmoody.
It's really funny how much you guys just ignore already the matchups that have happened in person, in real life. And you're like, nope, those results mean nothing.
That's not one on one. We're
not talking about somebody who played the five and played the one and never saw each other in the game. They did play one on one against each other. What are you talking about?
Can we be happy for Lauren? She just won a championship. And you guys are raining on her parade.
You guys did this twice, though.
You guys did it twice. We did it earlier with Ellie Klein. You guys just ignored regular season actual results.
This is a different environment. It's one-on-one, right? Half the gym is Columbus Grove. Half of it is Ottawa Glandorf people. It is jam-packed. All eyes are on just those two.
I wish the Gillington segment would start because he would bring in some cheese with your wine. All right? He would do that.
I got you back, Chris. Yeah. Listen, you know what? We said the same thing in the guys' tournament, right? Yeah. At the end of the day, you can't go wrong with
no bad choices.
All these girls had fantastic seasons. I mean, you're talking about all-time greats for their schools and in this area. You can't go wrong. Obviously, a little sour grapes because you want your pick to win. Yeah. You know, I can tell you why you were wrong all day long. But ultimately, at the end of the day, Lauren Ockmoody being a champion is not going to be like, oh, no, we've gone wrong, right? Like, I mean, come on. Right.
She's never played.
She's such a good player. Like, it is, okay.
Well, and this is all fun until tomorrow when it hits social media. And then it all comes back on us, and we're like, I didn't say that. He dubbed that in. I didn't say that at all.
So Lauren Ockmoody is the queen of the court. Yeah. Beckett Berkey is the king of the court. Who wins?
Ooh. Listen, I got to be honest with you. This has nothing to do with male, female, any of those things. Beckett Berkey, with his game, I don't. You'd be hard pressed to find a lot of people who would
absolutely
be able to play with him.
I think that Lauren
has a really good game herself, but we talked about how she may struggle with the size of Nicole. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Beckett's length is significantly more than Nicole's is. And I think
that their first dance will be to One Shining Moment. Yeah, I think that's what their first dance will be, too.
What is this show? 31 episodes.
31
guys.
Episodes, and it's not gotten better.
And somehow we've continued to evolve.
We have alienated half of Putnam County now.
We're
not going to be allowed back in Ottawa, and they serve really good food at the Winter Classic.
They do.
Yeah.
We did talk to a coach earlier today, though. They said he would talk to the AD about maybe actually having this next year. Hopefully. This is the beginning of an actual real-life tournament that we could actually have.
We asked some players, and I've heard from people, is this something that would actually be like something players would want to sign up for or participate in? And it's been an over-resounding yes. Like, this would be, I think, the bragging rights and just the format and the style. You know, this might be something where if we can get the right people on board and we make this happen, this could be a big event in the area.
And then think about the possibilities. We could do a whole media bracket. Could you imagine you versus Kelsey? Oh my gosh.
Oh man, why would you want to do that to Kelsey? I would clearly win, and it wouldn't be close.
Without a doubt, right?
Yes. She'd have the hat on, I'd just pull it over her eyes, and I'd go around her every time.
We could have a print division, a TV division, an internet division.
There'd be so many injuries.
We wouldn't have to worry about the print division. They would never leave the concession stand.
I do like the bottom.
Again, I go back to what I said probably 2 to 3 times a show for the last 3 months. This is why we can't get guests, Miles.
I know, right?
Yeah, guy talking about the concession stand, he used 3 meal tickets at the state championship.
And it was asking for more.
Yeah.
Guys, thanks a lot. This was a lot of fun. And to all of our viewers out there, We enjoy doing this for you guys, and I hope we can continue doing this. I hope we get the real
And don't
thing.
Take it too serious, yeah, folks. Say,
no, we joke about people getting mad, but we had a lot of people on social media over the last week really defending, and not defending, but
well,
saying,
it showed the passion.
They showed passion, and one person said, these guys, you can tell they really love high school sports, and we do. We love these kids. We love high school sports. Yep. It's all fun.
A lot of positive comments for Mark and Chris and Nate and myself.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
I mean, this is just what we do after the mics usually turn off. We just turn them back
absolutely. And make fun of each other.
He named everybody here but me.
I did catch that. That's the whole thing where I'm choosing to ignore certain things.
Remember that segment you had with me on Wednesdays? Yeah.
Remember, it's sponsored by Taylor.
Listen, this has been a lot of fun in your record. This is what we do when we're when we're not on camera or behind a mic or writing something down. Mm-hmm. This is what we talk about, and this is why this was fun. Congratulations to Lauren, even though she might not have been the champion I picked, she's still the champion.
She's the queen of the court. The queen.
She earned it. She had a great year. All these girls did.
All hail the queen!
Yay, Lauren Ock Moody, the queen of the court.